Listen to the best of the church's music for the Epiphany season at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the Epiphany season, 24/7. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Nowadays, when we think about marriage, we think about it as one option among several, don't we? Maybe not even the first option. It might even be third down the line. One could choose to have children, not be married at all. One could choose to have children and simply live with the person or someone else, maybe not that person's mother or father, and maybe somewhere in the distant future or as one of those distant options, there is marriage. But what is the effect of cohabitation and single parenthood on children? There's a new report. We're going to talk about it on this Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Holly Shearer joins us. She's a pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled Report, Global Spike in Cohabitation is Destabilizing for Children's Lives. Holly, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me on today.
All this research on the instability for children in cohabiting or single-parent families, is it just talking about poor inner-city situations?
I think that's really the stereotype, but the latest study that has come out studied all types of families at all education levels, and they found that even in families that were, you know, economically stable and had high levels of education for the mother, that it was still really, really tough on children when the parents weren't married.
So tell us about this report from the Institute for Family Studies.
Sure. They compiled data from 100 countries worldwide, studying all types of families, and they broke it down whether parents were married, whether they were cohabiting but committed, and whether it was single mothers. And then they looked at how many transitions that children experienced in the partners raising the actual children before kids reached age 12. And they found that married couples are very stable. Children have a very stable home life. Cohabiting couples are far less stable, and then single mothers are even less stable.
So how is instability defined, per se?
What they really looked at, they called it union transitions, and a union transition in this report is when a parent switches a sex partner, and then that's a switch in also the relationships that affect the children.
So in other words, it is the children and, say, the mother or the father stay in place, but a new adult enters the situation.
Yes, absolutely.
Are cohabiting couple families, are they more stable than single-parent families?
Overall, they are. But again, you're talking instability versus instability, and none of it is really good for the children involved.
So why has this trend been so interesting to researchers? I take there's a lot of research being done on this.
There's a huge amount of research being done, and obviously this is something that the church has known really since the beginning, is that when God creates families, he has parents, and then he has children, and he binds them together in a really excellent way. And so this is not something, as Christians, that's new to us at all. It's interesting to see secular organizations really starting to pay attention to this, and that they're realizing not only is it really difficult on the adults in the situation, the ones that kind of get to make the choices, but it is really, really damaging for the children, the ones who really are powerless in this.
Do we know why adults either defer, as in the case of cohabitation, or delay marriage?
There are a lot of factors going into that. The percentage of women who got married by the time they had their first child from the 1970s to the early 2000s, it's actually fallen by half, which is huge. And the reasons people cite are, you know, very different. It's been everything from financial concerns. You know, one person has bad credit and they don't want to be tied to that bad credit, or they feel that they can have tax breaks, or they're not ready to commit, or they've bought into the story that, you know, marriage is just a piece of paper and it doesn't actually mean anything for commitment, which is really a sad view of marriage. Or that women feel that marriage isn't needed anymore to actually make them financially secure. It's become more culturally acceptable to have sex outside of marriage. There's speculation that the increase in the ease of access to contraception makes it easier to consider premarital sex because people think that you're knocking the possibility of children out of the equation.
Talk about how childbearing and marriage have been divorced from one another. What was traditionally in Western society, two things, love and marriage and childbearing, now just are disconnected entirely. Talk about that.
I think it's kind of that people see themselves more as individuals and they focus more on what they want and what is best for them personally. And so people might want a child and they might feel that the time is right to have a child or situations just dictate that's what's happening. And instead of looking at what's best for the child, which is having both parents right there in a marriage, they look at what's best for them. And maybe that's continuing to pursue other relationships or career goals. And so marriage and childbearing, they're not tied together. Women don't really seem to feel as much anymore that they need to be home with their children or that that's the only option. And so if you aren't home, you can be out, you know, as the breadwinner yourself.
The traditional role of husband and father has essentially been eliminated in the minds of many people.
What do you need a husband and father for when society tells you that men and women are equal and that women can do everything men can do and they can do it better? You don't need fathers then.
Are the concerns here, obviously you and I share religious concerns about this, but are the concerns here only religious?
They are absolutely not only religious. Children are more likely to be abused. They're more likely to be neglected. They have problems with stress. They have problems in school. There are all sorts of really lifelong issues that come from not having that secure attachment to your family in the early years of your life. And that's one of the big things that this study looked at with those union transitions, is every transition of this sort that comes into a child's life brings with it a whole host of problems. And the really sad reality is that it is terribly more common than it should be for new partners, especially male partners in the lives of children, to abuse those children. So mom and dad break up. They stop living together and mom gets a new boyfriend. It is a sad thing that that boyfriend very often will abuse the children.
We kind of talked about it from the women's perspective, women thinking they can have it all, and then what do I need, a husband or a father for my kids? But this trend also is an open door for men to behave in the maximum irresponsibility. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, we're kind of infantilizing men with this, aren't we? We're really not forcing them to take any sort of responsibility or really have to be there for their family. And when we look at God's plan for things, he has always given men such, you know, a heavy burden on that, that when we look at God's commands when it comes to marriage, that he wants husbands to love their wives like Christ loves the church. And we talk about how, you know, that's more than some happy-go-lucky feeling. That's a self-sacrificial love. Things like this in society, they aren't asking men to have any sort of self-sacrificial love for their children and their wife. They're asking men to just think about what men want, and that's not good for anyone.
What can the church do to promote natural marriage, discourage cohabitation, and at the same time help families, and especially the children that are suffering through this instability?
Well, I think the first thing we need to do is we need to remember that children are always a blessing and there's no qualifiers on that. You know, no matter what circumstances are present when a child is brought into the world, we should absolutely rejoice that, you know, God has blessed that family with a child. We need to then worry about how do we make this family really stable? And that's where promoting marriage comes in. We need to sit people down and tell them that, listen, what you've heard is a lie. You cannot be the best parents you can possibly be without also embracing the plan God has set out for you. And that doesn't mean that every family is going to be perfect, because unfortunately sin has touched families as well. But what it does mean is that we need to stop telling people that it's okay to not try their best when it comes to this.
Has the church, especially here in the United States, gone mute when it comes to cohabitation?
I think increasingly it really has. It's a really difficult thing to sit down people who love each other and they're committed and tell them, well, because you're not married, you're still not doing things right. And there are so many people where, you know, their children or their grandchildren or their sisters or their somebody close in their family has chosen to not get married and to cohabit. And they don't want to feel like they're judging those people. And they especially don't want to feel like they're sitting, you know, the family member down and being like, well, what you're doing is hurting, you know, your kids. Nobody wants to be that person. And so it's easier to be quiet when people shouldn't be.
People look at the situation of divorce in the United States, and most sensible people would say, look, while it might be necessary in extreme cases, golly, divorce is no good for anybody involved, especially the children. How is it that they then conclude, Holly, that cohabitation is a better solution than that?
Well, because they're looking at it selfishly again. You know, if you're never married, you don't have to go through the drama of a divorce. You don't have to drag everything through the courts. They're worrying about themselves again and not the children. Because absolutely, whether, you know, the parents are married or not, any dissolution of the family is traumatic and damaging for the children. And there are situations, like you said, where it is absolutely, you know, something that is happening because of safety of the people involved, or we're not talking about extreme cases here. What we're talking about is people who aren't stopping and saying that, you know, I'm a family and I've made choices to become a family and we're going to work it out and we're going to work it out together.
You and your husband are raising four children. That is hard enough when there are two people working all the time to make to keep the family stable. It's an uphill climb all the way. Talk to that woman who's trying to do this by herself, and she would love to be, have a little help. And she knows that she may have one time believed she can have it all, but she's realized now that this is not good for her or for her children.
My heart is absolutely with women who have found themselves, for whatever reason, having to try to do it all and realizing that they can't. And, you know, the church is there for you, and the church is there for your children, and the church is not a place for people who have everything figured out and people who have perfect lives. The church is there for real people. And that includes, you know, mothers who were cohabiting and broke up, who are currently cohabiting, who have always been single. It's, you know, the church is really the best place for you and your children. And it is where you can go and you can receive God's grace and love and forgiveness.
So finally, Holly, why is sex and childbearing that ought to go together? Why should it go together with marriage? Why is that best for everyone involved, especially for children?
Well, taking it back to, you know, your middle school biology classes, when you have sex with another person, you absolutely, you know, have the chance of making a baby together. And if you're doing something that could be making a baby, then you should be doing that in the situation most likely to be healthy for that baby, and that's marriage. That's the way God set it up. That's the way science is verifying is best for that baby, and it's what's best for everyone involved.
Holly Shear is a pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She is author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, Report, Global Spike in Cohabitation is Destabilizing for Children's Lives. You can find a link to it under the Listen on Demand page at issuesetc.org. Holly, thanks for the time.
Thank you.
We're going to be looking forward to Sunday morning on this Tuesday afternoon, February the 7th, on the other side of the break. According to the three-year lectionary, Dr. Carl Fakencher will be our guest of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Stay tuned for Hour 2.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.